The scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and people tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are fed well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets."
For those of you who were brought up in the church, this is probably a very familiar passage. It's often known as the Sermon on the Mount. But if you noticed, in Luke's gospel, it's the sermon on the plain, on the level place, down where the people are. Matthew is the gospel that tells it that Jesus was on a mountain. It's kind of like my sister and I, when I tell a story, she corrects me because she remembers it differently, and vice versa. You know, when we think back to stories, we hear them different. And it's also a real neat example to show that when Jesus spoke, it spoke to different people in different ways. Still does today, I hope. But this was a sermon on the level place. Jesus was down with the people. People were crowded around him, it says in there. Versus last week, when we talked about his sermon, he was at the edge of the lake and kept getting pushed back and back until he got in the boat to get away from the crowds. We talked about the smells and the sights and the sounds that would have been going on. And in that place, Jesus could step back, but in this place, he couldn't. They were all around him. It says, they came to hear him, but they also came to be healed of their diseases, and they came to be cleansed of their unclean spirits, which I think was probably maybe some mental problems kind of thing. And they touched him because the power came out of him to heal them. And then Luke also, he talks about the blessed are, like Matthew does, but then Luke adds, woe to you. And those are missing in Matthew's version. So I like the Matthew version. I think we tend in our life want to hear more of the blessed things. Matthew has five more blesseds are, no woes. It's the nice version. It's Jesus up above the crowd. He's speaking down to them, kind of like a pulpit, maybe. And so the crowd is not coming in on him, and there's no indication of the poor and the hungry and those who need to be healed. It's the nicer version. It's not frantic. It doesn't feel icky. Matthew also changed the words, or heard the words, poor in spirit, versus Luke saying, blessed are the poor. Matthew heard hungering after righteousness. Luke heard hungry. Matthew softened or didn't hear the social justice part of it that Luke heard and spiritualized it a little bit more. And I think all of us in this room can probably relate better to the spiritual aspect. I hope none in this room are hungry, but we do know how to hunger for righteousness. I hope that none in this room are poor, but we do know how to be poor in spirit or humble before others. And so Matthew's version is a little easier, a little nicer, maybe something that we can relate to. Luke's version is more like the Old Testament theology that says that when you are doing the right thing, when you are doing things God likes, you will be blessed. When you are not doing the things that God wants you to do, then you are cursed. So we have the blessed and we have the woe in Luke's gospel. Well, according to Luke, Jesus came down the mountain, down to the plain, down where the crowds were. I remember a time I've told you all, a lot of you before, about my trip to China. I went with a group of clergy women. It's interesting, you know, way, way back when women couldn't preach in most denominations, we could go and be missionaries. So many, many missionaries went to China. They were female, and they preached there. It wasn't called preaching, but they did. And so many of the pastors in China, and the ones that we went to visit were Presbyterian, many of them were female. So they asked for female clergy here to go over there and meet with them, and we got to meet even with the government officials over there. In China versus here, we have freedom of religion, but there it's you can still be Christian. I know some people say you can't, but you can be in China, but the church has to be registered with their government. That's the difference. But anyway, we spent, I guess we'd been there 14 days or 13 days and met with a lot of people, went to a lot of different places, did some tourism too. So the 13th day, I guess it was, we were tired. And we were back in Beijing, we're getting ready to fly back out, and we decided we would do some shopping in the silk market in Beijing. So we all went there. Well, and I'm not sure if I remember this correctly. It's kind of an example, and we don't always remember the details. Seems to me it was indoors, and it was several floors. But I remember going in, and as in Asian places, their markets are different people. They have little booths, and they're very busy places. And so I remember going in this building, and there were little tent-like booths all over, just kind of claustrophobic. And I was looking for some particular things. Well, as I walked down that aisle looking into these little booths, the people were so desperate for me to buy that they were actually grabbing at me, grabbing my arm. Oh, please, look at this. And it's Miss. They call everybody Miss. So it was, Miss, look at this. Oh, Miss, this is made so good. Miss, you need this. And as I went through that market and the tiredness of the whole trip, I was worn out. And a friend of mine saw me, and she came up, and she said, oh, Robin, I can see you're overwhelmed. And she said, I am too. Let's just go and get some coffee, which is hard to find in China. But we left there and went and had a cup of coffee. It was that overwhelming need of those vendors in that silk market that needed the money that I had. And they saw me as rich, which I was compared to them. So Luke says, blessed are you who are poor, the poor who do not have adequate water in places like Africa and in the Palong Burmese refugee villages in Thailand. But he says, for yours is the kingdom of God. And then he says, blessed are you who are hungry, like the vendors in the silk market in Beijing who must scrounge for pay. And when I bought a purse for $2.50, that was a meal for their family. But he says, blessed are you who are hungry, but you will be filled. Then he says, blessed are you who weep now, like the children who are in the war zones in the Gaza Strip and in Syria and Afghanistan. But he says, you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you, like the black and white rivalries, it's worse than rivalry, racism that we have in our country, the Muslim, Jewish, Christian, the hatred that can go on there, the exclusion. But it says, for your reward, rejoice in that day, for you will leap with joy, for surely your reward. Where do we fit in this? We who are not poor, who are not hungry, we who do weep, and hopefully we who do not hate, I hope, in this room, where do we fit in? Which are we? Well, we have to go on. Luke says, woe to you who are rich, and we are rich in this room compared to others, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Well, which do we want? I think I want blessings. I don't want woes and curses. What do we want? But it says that if we're poor and we're hungry, we're blessed. If we're rich and not hungry, we are cursed, or woe to us. So what do? Do we sell everything? There are some that have. There are pastors who have started churches with people who live in places of poverty and try to live in those ways. I don't know the answer. I read a real good sermon by Barbara Brown Taylor. It's called God's Ferris Wheel. And it's about these verses. And she says that the Beatitudes are not advice, but reality. Jesus is not telling us what to do, to go out and be hungry or be poor, but Jesus is stating reality. And in truth, we all fit into some category. I know many of us have wept in our lifetime, and we all will at some point. And so, in truth, yes, we will fit into some of those categories. And she says that it's Jesus saying that it's not permanent. He's promising to us that when we weep, we will eventually laugh. When things are hard, they will eventually be good. And she says it's like a Ferris wheel. When you're on the top, the wind is in your hair, the world's light is at your feet, and things are good. But everybody has a turn at the bottom where the candy wrappers and the sawdust are. And so she says it's not advice or judgment, but it's reality. It's not reward and punishment, it's reality. She says it's God's agenda rather than a mandate for human morality. And I will say that I do see life differently when I'm at the top of the Ferris wheel versus at the bottom. And there is truth in that we have to know pain in order to really know joy or absence of pain. And so both of those are important in our life, and we do all have them. But there's something that bothers me about that theology. I feel like there are people who life has been terribly unfair for. People born in third world countries where they don't have adequate water, they don't have adequate food. I heard on NPR this morning Richard Foster talking about kindness and compassion. And he said that we're all born with a propensity for language and kindness and compassion, these things. But like with language, We all can speak when we're born, and we all have the capacity to learn language, but we have to be in an environment where we hear language in order to learn it. So we all can, but we have to learn that language. And he says this about kindness and compassion. We all have the capacity to be kind and compassionate, but we have to learn it in our homes. And so I think about the people who never learned kindness and compassion in their life, and I wonder what happens to them as they grow. Maybe those are the folks that are angry, those folks that struggle in life. And so I do feel like some people don't have as fair a chance as others. And so, yes, it may be reality, but does that mean that their only reward is in heaven? I can't justify in my mind that the pain on the earth is okay just because there won't be pain in heaven. And so Jesus' words spurred my thought on, and I thought about when my children were young, and they would complain about doing something, washing the dishes or whatever. That's one that comes to mind. And I would say, you know, I did my time as a kid. It's your turn. You've got to do your time as a kid. I get to make the rules, and you follow them. And the rules in our home were he who cooked did not have to clean up. And so the kids would have to clean up or cook, help cook. And so when they complain, you did your time as a kid. Well, now it's fun. I watch them because they now make the rules, and their kids are doing their time as kids. And so my kids now, they are at the top of the Ferris wheel. They were at the bottom when they were in my home, and now they're at the top. But as I thought about that, now that I'm a senior adult, there's going to come a time when I'm the kid again, and my children will be the parent. I will have to do my time as a kid again, and my kids will be the ones who make the rules. So as I thought about these Beatitudes, the poor and the hungry, I thought about how I treated my children going to have a bearing on how they treat me later? How we treat the world, does that have a bearing on the future? While we're at the top of the Ferris wheel, with the wind blowing in our hair and the world's light at our feet, how we handle that, will that have a bearing on what happens to the future of our world and those who are at the bottom and maybe at the top someday? Let's ponder that for just a moment and then have prayer. O God of the rich and the poor, enable us to see the interplay of all people in our world. Amen.